Florida State football is an absolute disaster in 2024. Should the Seminoles move on from Mike Norvell, or should they keep him and let him try and fix this thing? Michael, that is the $64 million question on every Florida State fan's mind right now. And so there's not a whole lot else to talk about with this team, so we're going to take our crack at it today. We're going to kind of approach this almost like a court case. Mike Norvell, you are in the Plant the Spear Court of Public Opinion today.
Oh.
And so we are going to make a case for why you should fire him and a case for why maybe you should keep him around and let him try and fix this thing. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts to go into this, so we're going to dive right in here in just a second. Got a couple other thoughts as well. We're going to tack on some things about Notre Dame at the end because that is the game this week. But man, this is really the burning topic, I feel like, at the heart of every Seminole fan. Yep. Of what the heck is this and what should we do? So before we jump into that, Michael, thank you for joining me. And how are you, my friend?
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I'm doing all right. Doing good. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The $64 million question, should FSU retain Mike Norvell? And whatever we decide, and by we, I mean Michael Alford and the administration, I hope it's like the election, a landslide. Let's decide and let's go, because we've got to get this program back on track. So whatever we do, let's be all in, Noel Nation. Let's be all in, FSU administration. If it's Mike Norvell again, Mike, man, you've got to go scorch earth. But whatever we decide, let's do it. I know we're going to talk about the public opinion, Mike Norvell's in court, but whatever they end up doing, man, let's be all in for this.
Yeah, and because when we say we mean like the royal we, because we don't make any decisions.
Exactly.
But we're kind of just echoing, I think, some of the narrative of the fan base, right? And I will say one advantage to running a page like Plant the Spear, we have combined across all social media like a greater than 20,000 FSU fan followers. Right. So with that, we have a really good touch on the pulse of the fan base. Like I literally go through hundreds of comments a day. So, and trust me, there are arguments on both sides. There are people that want his Christmas tree on the corner before Christmas even gets here. And there are some people that really adamantly defend him. And so I think there are both sides of the coin. So that's why we didn't just want to come on here and say one side or the other, because again, like you just mentioned, man, in now is time and day and age, it's important to understand both sides of the argument and without getting mad. So before we get into the negativity, I do want to mention something positive, because I don't want to bring them into this because they don't suck like our football team. And that is today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. These guys have great FSU gear. And the thing is, if the football team has pissed you off, they have basketball gear, they have baseball gear, they have softball gear, they have all kinds of stuff that is rolled out that you guys can go choose from at their Tallahassee location, 1415 Timber Lane Road, or shop online at alumnihall.com/FSU the Florida State page there. Make sure you save 10% by using code SPEAR. So we appreciate you guys for supporting those that support us. So, Michael, let's just jump into this thing because we got a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time here. Now, when you look at Florida State as a whole, this is no secret to anybody. This is an absolute disaster. This is an abject failure of a season. Florida State is 1-8. You're probably going to be 1-9 after this week. You're probably going to get your face kicked in by Notre Dame. It's probably not even going to be a competitive game. I think for outside of the second half of the SMU game or in individual moments throughout games, you saw quit in this team against UNC. That game was ugly. The stands were empty. The crowd support was not there. The players quit. It was the worst of all the games you've had so far. And that's the hard part about the season, is it's been bad, but it's gotten worse almost every single week, it feels like. It's not even getting any better. And so that's where you kind of wonder, our coaches checked out, our players checked out. We know the fans are mostly checked out. Now you also have Charleston Southern coming up there. That's a game you should win. And really, I mean, they're a 1-8 FCS team. They are equally as bad as you, but an FCS team. And I understand the argument for some people, like, man, you might be on the fence. This game might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, right? Like, this might, if you lose at home off a bye week to a 1-8 Charleston Southern team, man, that's also one of my arguments for getting rid of Mike Norvell. Like, if that happens, I'm willing to clean the house. And I will say this before we jump into this. I am very much on both sides of the fence with this. I know that's not a definitive position, but I see both arguments. I see where you could fire him. I see where you should keep him. And then, of course, you end the season with Florida, who's probably going to be on their third string quarterback. And so correct, that's not going to be an easy sell to lose that game either. But man, they just gave Georgia all they wanted in that game there towards the end when things came unraveled. I was there. It was actually kind of cool to see these things called touchdowns. They do exist in the wild, Michael. I don't we haven't seen them in a while, but see them exist. So it was pretty crazy, man. But yeah, it's dire straits right now. And it sounded like in his most recent press conference that in-season firings don't sound likely to happen. Although I could see maybe the bye week after Notre Dame, if you're going to cut bait before you get to early signing period, that's probably a good time to do it because that is coming up in like less than a month. Yeah. And the last thing I do want to touch on before we get into a lot of the coaching talk in particular is I want to send our prayers to Juice Cryer, who had an injury against UNC, had to have an air cast put on. Mike Norvell said that it was a positive outcome so far from what they've seen in the reports, but he is going to be out this week, so hopefully he's okay. So prayers up to Juice Cryer. Michael, I actually didn't watch a whole lot of the UNC game because I was at that Georgia-Florida game. Apparently, I didn't miss much. I'm a very sick individual because I had my phone on YouTube TV with it on in the stands. I don't recommend that for anybody, but yeah, man, I just think it's like, it is so bad right now. This is like, you are not, it's not even losing, man. It's you are the worst team in college football every single Saturday.
Yeah.
And so like, man, it's a fair conversation to have on whether after a 13-1 season and a conference championship, should you even be moving on from this coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I totally agree with you. dare I say an abomination. To go from 13-1 and 23-4 in the last two seasons to 1-9. Now, I know we haven't played Notre Dame yet, so you're like, why are you already counting that as a loss? I mean, why shouldn't you? They haven't shown anything else. But I'm also talking about the Georgia game because that's a part of this. Even though there were so many extenuating circumstances and people left and, you know, but this is basically the start of it, right?
Right. So that's essentially this team.
Correct. That's this team. Exactly. Absent the transfers, they're 1-9 and they have not looked good in any of the 9 games of 10. I mean, that Cal game, they barely won. It took a bunch of missed field goals and bad play at the end by Cal for Florida State to win that game. And so for people who are out there saying like, how can you be calling or even talking about firing Mike Norvell? Because it's one thing to go 13-1 and then come back and go 7-5. That's not good. But you're like, okay, I mean, there's a drop off. It's one thing to go 13-1 and then go 5-7.
Right.
It's a whole nother thing, Jesse, to go from 13-1 to 1-8, where you're looking at potentially, because I'm one of the ones, Jesse's not, but I'm one of the ones that are like, I don't know if this Charleston Southern game is a guaranteed win. I don't even know if it's close to a win. And so you're looking at potentially 2-10 and 1-11. A catastrophic fall off. And so absolutely that, and I did, I'm a suffering fool, Jesse. I watched the entirety of that North Carolina game. Now on the multi-view of YouTube, I watched other games too. And it was terrible. I mean, it's absolutely terrible. The effort was terrible. You know, the play all around, every quarterback had a bad day. They scored a touchdown towards the end there. I mean, North Carolina, you know, I'll throw this back to you. You know it's a bad thing when Mac Brown comes up to Mike Norvell in the pregame and puts his hand on his shoulder and does like the, you know, the son, you know, like when you say, now listen, son, right? Yeah. He did that to Mike Norvell. You knew it was going to be a butt whooping after that.
Yeah, and then he did the signature Mac Brown neck grab at the end or whatever. It was super weird, but he's probably like, hey, man, you know, don't jump off with Oak. You make $10 million a year. It's fine.
Exactly.
But, you know, and maybe Mike Norvell needed some encouraging words because he hasn't heard a whole lot. And, you know, to be fair, man, like, I think it's well known that we've both been on the Mike Norvell train. We both like Mike Norvell. We were both happy whenever, you know, they signed him to the extension to keep him away from Alabama. I just don't think anybody in their sane mind thought this was possible. I don't, like you said, it's one thing to come back and go 5-7, 4-8 even. Maybe you lost like your Heisman contender quarterback and all these people.
Correct.
Which a lot of that, we'll get into that too. But a lot of that's on them because they didn't have people ready. And I mean, I think now you see on a consistent, you know, game to game, week to week basis, why they rolled DJU out there, because, you know, he wasn't great, but these young quarterbacks are very inconsistent as well. So I think the best place to start with this obviously is the elephant in the room. And that is the buyout, because that is really the number one determining factor in this. Now, I think if Florida State is very much willing to compete at a high level, right? They spend money. I got some numbers on that later, but this is a huge buyout, man. And I mean, there's only so much you can do to pay coaches not to coach, because, you know, I think people do have to remember that while you have to pay this buyout, you have to buy him out. You have to buy his staff out. You have to buy the off-field staff out for whatever their contracts are worth. Then you have to pay probably similar or more money to get a new staff in here, because you're not just going to bring in some ragtag staff off the street. After this, you're going to want to establish yourself. So you're going to have to pay the money to get these guys in here. So, I mean, this is huge. And so, obviously, I think if push come to shove, if Florida State felt like they needed to make that move, you know, there's private equity, there's things like that that I feel like they could find if they wanted to make the move. And to be fair, I don't think they're going to fire Mike Norvell after this year. I don't. That's my belief. But obviously, we'll get into that later. So let's first start talking about this buyout. Mike Norvell's buyout currently is $63.8 million, which, you know, when we get into these numbers, Michael, I think the number one takeaway is, like, man, coaching is ridiculous.
That's where the money's at.
Absolutely ridiculous, man. Like, all the assistant coaches make over $500,000. That is insane. Like, like I've always said, man, the American dream, being a bad football coach with a big buyout. It is the best job in America.
You can ask Jimbo. Look at him.
Exactly. That man is Willie Taggart, living his best life, just getting paid. We just got him off the books. You know, but $63.8 million buyout drops by roughly $9 million-ish per year through 2031. So you're looking at $54.4 million after 25, $45.6 after 26, which I think is probably around your window of what you're looking at there for. Then it goes to when they might make another decision, $36.8 million, $27.7, $18.5, then $9.3. So it's going to come down, but it's not. It's the good thing is, one, you don't have to pay it in a chunk, right? You can pay this off over time if you were to fire him. It's still a lot of money, but $9 million a year is a big hit to your football budget. Now, it's not – you could do it, but, again, you have to figure all that stuff in there too, because when you look at the coordinators, they are signed through 2026, so two more years minimum. So to get rid of Adam Fuller, you're going to have to pay around $4 million. Alex Atkins is around $2.7 million. And then, like I said, the rest of the staff – all makes over $500,000 a year. I won't bore you with the numbers there. You're looking at around $75 million to clean house.
Right.
You're looking at around $10 to $12 million to fire everybody except for Mike Norvell. That is obviously a huge difference here. And like we said, remember, you're going to have to pay the same amount to get more to come in. Now, there are also some outliers there, like Patrick Surtain. There's obviously the rumblings that Southern Miss could come calling to get him to be their head coach. Yeah. So, you know, maybe you save a little bit there. Maybe you keep a couple guys. Like, I think you could certainly keep JP as your special teams coordinator. I think he's done a great job there. You know, maybe Adam Fuller, if you want to make a case to keep him. I'll say this, all right, knowing what you got to pay to get out of this. If you don't fire – here's the conundrum that you're in, right? If you don't fire Alex Atkins, you are not going to pay an offensive line coach $1.3 million a year, especially for this poor of a product. Because we both think that you need to bring in a dedicated OC, regardless of what happens, whether you keep him or not. Because the offensive line actually wasn't bad until, really, if you think about it, the timeline until he took that offensive coordinator role. Then they started to regress. So I think he needs to be focused back on that if you keep him. I think Mike Norvell needs to be focused back on the program if you keep him. So you need that offensive coordinator. But you're not going to pay a bad offensive line coach $1.3 million a year. Would he even take a demotion? He does have a show cost, so he probably isn't going anywhere else right now. And then, like I said, I think the conundrum that you're in is you can't bring in new coordinators and hand them this staff. You can't do that. But how much impact does replacing assistants make when the coordinators aren't replaced? So it really does kind of feel like almost an all or nothing move when you replace the staff, outside of, I'm sure you could sell a new coordinator like, hey, look, Patrick Surtain's a great recruiter. We want to keep him here. David Johnson's done good with the running backs. You know, maybe you can look at keeping some of these guys to take some of the money off of that chunk cost. But man, I mean, yeah, like it's going to be a massive cost to get rid of the staff. And like I said, I'll throw it back to you, but I think you kind of have like two situations, right? Or three situations, really. You either have to get rid of everybody, just rip the Band-Aid off and start clean, or you have to keep Mike Norvell and get rid of everybody else and bring somebody in, or maybe you keep, you know, you demote Atkins, you keep Fuller and whoever he chooses that he wants, along with Mike Norvell, and then you get rid of most of your staff.
Yeah.
I think what FSU fans want is either option one or two. I don't think you really want to keep anybody, but I think those are pretty much your three options.
Yeah, I think, man, it's so difficult. And while I would love to be making $10 million, I'm glad I don't have to make $10 million decisions right now. And the thing is, like you said, this total thing, if they were to do everybody, including Mike Norvell, you're looking at $75 million, you know, roundabout there. But it's not just, you know, one, if you look at it from that standpoint, Florida State doesn't have $75 million.
Yeah.
But if you look at it from the standpoint of that, Mike Norvell's contract does not call for that. You know, I think it's 75% of his remaining contract, which gets you to which gets you to the 63.8. It's the fact that his contract doesn't call for that 85% to come up front that you can actually pay out year by year. So if you do the math, so you're looking at about $10 million a year per Mike Norvell. You're looking at, if you fire every single coordinator, including position coaching staff, that's, I think that coaching staff budget was like around $5 million or so, a little over $5 million. Okay. Now I'm taking a guess at the off the field staff, but let's say they're $2 million. You're looking at having to pay $17 million at minimum for the next 3 years. And then, because that takes off the assistant coaches and the off the field staff, and then basically $9 million over the next 8-9 years or whatever. Right. And then on top of that, you're going to have to go out. And Jesse, you and I both know, while we're not like, I wish I was Jimmy Sexton making all this money with coaches, we're not super agents, it's going to cost you at minimum $10 million to bring somebody in, because you're not going to want to go get a G5 coach right now.
Right. And that's just a head coach.
That's just a head coach. You're not talking about the assistants, where a offensive and a defensive coordinator is probably going to cost you at minimum $1.2 to $1.5 million. Then you got position coaches who are going to want to make more than $500,000, because they're like, why are we coming to this sinking ship? You just fired everybody. Why should we come and uproot our family? So you're looking at a minimum, probably $20 to $25 million to replace the $17 million staff that you just fired. And so the numbers feels like it doesn't work out for you to make that decision. Now, I and we're going to get into all this later, of the two options or whatever. You know, I think if you go with the option where you keep Mike Norvell, I think, you know, then I think if you're going to keep Mike Norvell, you still have to ask him to clean the slate. I do think if there's a way to keep Patrick Surtain, you got to try to figure that out. I mean, look, every coaching staff since Bobby, they basically said, you know, Ordell Hagans is untouchable, right? So you got to figure out how to make him work. I think you can do the same thing. I think it's time for Ordell to retire. I love the guy, but I think it's time to retire. I think you can do the same thing with Surtain, because of all the coaches on this staff, he's the one who has recruited high school well, and his players are actually, you know, outside of Ventura Cypress and maybe a couple busts, they've been pretty decent,
right?
Better than decent. So I think you have to look at that as well. If you're going to go scorch earth and fire everybody, then you might as well fire everybody. Everybody. And that just means that you're going to have to incur the debt.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I did the math on the 2025 salaries, and this coaching staff is set to make around $8.6 million next year. And that's coordinators included.
$3 million off.
Because they've went up a lot. I mean, in 2023, you were only paying $12 million for your entire staff, including Mike Norvell. And so, again, like you said, man, you're going to have to pay all this money out to bring in these new coaches. You know, you're going to have to pay to get rid of them, and then you're going to have to pay to bring in a comparable staff at that same amount of money, because they know, it's public knowledge, they know what they're making.
Yeah. Can I tell you, the mistake was, Jesse, was not the – listen, I don't fault Michael Alford for extending Mike Norvell. We didn't – no one wanted him to go to Alabama. And Florida State fans would have roasted him if he let him go to Alabama without trying to pay him. The mistake was actually extending the assistant coaching. No one deserved a contract extension. Nobody did, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Patrick Surtain, but outside of that, no one really did. Why did we do that?
Yeah, no, I think that's where the misstep was. I think he got complacent. I think it was like, okay, we went 23-4. Life is good, and they didn't need to make any changes. And so – I do think that is where you're going to have to clean house, is getting rid of a lot of these assistants and even the coordinators, you know. And again, like when you talk about the money aspect of it, I was doing some rough math here, and in year one, to get rid of the old and bring in the new, you're looking at roughly $40 million. Now, according to the U.S. Department of Education, Florida State spent $76.5 million on football in 2023. That was first in the ACC and second in the country, and a $21 million increase from 2022. They only made, I mean, good thing they made, but they made $92 million last year in 2023. So, I mean, you're talking about literally spending over half of your entire football budget on just getting rid of coaches and bringing new coaches in.
Yeah.
And you also have to keep in mind, like, during all these financial moves, you're also trying to pay for that football-only facility. You're also paying for these DOAC renovations. And from what I could find on that, they issued bonds to finance these. And over the course of the time with interest and everything, they're going to be spending almost a half $1 billion on this. So, like, money, they might have money.
The lawsuits.
Right. And so, like, they might have money, but they're also spending at a very high rate. So I think really, as Florida State, you have to think of it kind of like this, right? You can't, the one thing that is for sure is you can't stay here, right? Because the way DOAC looked, the way donations and stuff like that are going to get hurt, you can't stay here. You can't be 1-9. It's just not going to work. This is like the perfect storm, man. This is what really could not have happened. You made a stink to get out of the conference. I understand why they did it. I still agree with that. I think you also look at all the projects that they took on.
Yeah.
The one thing you couldn't have happen, because you had enthusiasm among the fan base. You had all-time high with donations for Battles In. You had all the home games were basically sold out before the season even got here. The one thing that couldn't happen was this. And so this puts you in a tough situation. And I do think Florida State needs to navigate their way out of this as best as possible for as cheap as possible. It's going to be expensive regardless. You're going to have to spend a ton of money to fix this. That's just where it's at. Now, when you talk about the coordinators, like, I do agree that I think you could get rid of a lot of these guys. I think Atkins shouldn't be your coordinator anyway. I think when you look at Fuller, the tough part about Adam Fuller, man, is I'm so torn on that, because, like, he's going to be expensive, a little bit expensive to get rid of. He's probably overpaid to begin with at $2 million a year. I mean, he's one of the highest paid coordinators in football. But, you know, he did put together back-to-back top 20 defenses.
He did. You're right.
When he had the talent. Now, the problem is here is, like, obviously anybody can be good with talent, right? So, like, you have to, if you can do that with the talent, you have to be able to get the talent, but they don't recruit well enough to get the talent. So I think you could make a case to move on from him as well. But, you know, I don't think he's really a terrible DC if you had more talent on this roster, if you had an offense that didn't suck, frankly. You could really revisit some of these more expensive firings and see what you want to do there. But I think, like I talked about, and the last thing that I want to talk about on revenue before we get to the on-the-field talk about this is why I say you can't stay here. And I looked up some numbers, because you have to look at the potential lost revenue. And I did find where TJ Altimore on Twitter, I want to give him credit for this, he had a graphic that's been floated around. And this was in 2022. This is before 2023 when things went up vastly, and I'll cover that in a second. But Florida State, from what he sourced on stadium revenue per game, that's ticket sales, that's beer, food, snacks, shirts, all this type of stuff, parking, everything, they make about $2.2 million per game. And so you have to think, like, man, DOAC was, I mean, already have, you know, reduced capacity. You're going to be back at 70,000 next year, but I don't know, man. I didn't. There was probably, 20,000 people there, 15,000, 10,000 people, maybe.
Not
maybe.
According to the website. The website said there were 55,107 people for the North Carolina game. Somebody's calling BS on that.
I don't believe that. that's the thing. Like, you see these empty seats, and this game was technically sold out. Like we said, this game was sold out. And so I think when you look at the people who aren't going to renew their booster donations or commitments, they're not going to renew their Battles and memberships. They're not going to go to these games until, frankly, you know, Florida State shows them something that is worth driving that far for, that is worth spending that money for, because we won't get down the rabbit hole. But I mean, it's expensive to get to Tallahassee, to stay in Tallahassee for the games if you're not within driving distance. So, I mean, you could literally, if you cut that in half, you're losing roughly, you get seven home games a year, you're losing roughly $7 million a year right there. That's almost Mike Norvell's buyout. So, like, at some point, and that's just game day revenue, that's not talking about lost donations, at some point the money you're gonna lose, because it could be way more than that, because in ticket sales, I did find this on the Tallahassee Democrat, in 2022 they made $18.8 million from ticket sales. In 2023 there were more sellouts, the ticket changing the way they did it changed. If you're a season ticketer, you know they went up.
Yep.
The ticket money that they made in 2023 was $24.7 million. So that game day revenue is probably closer to around $3 million now.
Right.
But again, man, you could literally be losing what you're going to spend. So it Absolutely. Could actually be cost effective to get rid of Mike Norvell because of the lost revenue that you're going to lose from this if another down year happens. And I mean, really, you look outside of Alabama, Miami, next year's home slate isn't that great to begin right. with. And if you lose to Alabama in, you know, bad fashion, you're probably not going to do much for sales for that that Miami game either. So
yeah.
from a cost perspective, just to wrap up our thoughts on the money part of it before we get into the kind of the on the field stuff is like, it's almost like it's hard to guarantee the unknown, right? Like if you could guarantee yeah. this was a blip on the radar and you could get right. back to at least being a bowl team where the donations didn't completely fall off a cliff, I think it makes a lot of sense financially to keep Mike Norvell clean house and let him try and rebuild this thing. But if you continue to have bad seasons, the lost revenue, you would more than pay for getting rid of Mike Norvell. And I think the conundrum that you're in here is that what if you clean house and you spend that $12 million, then you spend another $12 million getting the staffs changed, but you kept Mike Norvell. That's $24 million. They go 1-8 or, you know, 2-10, 3-9 next year, and the recruiting doesn't get any better. Well, then in 2026, you got to fire everybody. Oof. So now you just bump that price up another $10 million, $20 million when you bring in another new staff. So, man, this could snowball into really, really bad. This could be fixed relatively quick, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But man, this is like, I don't want to like strike fear into the heart of Florida State fans. This is a crossroads season for our program. Like yeah. this could be really bad for the future of Florida State if they don't navigate this offseason right.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. That's why I said in the opener, like whatever they decide to do, be all in.
Right.
Because if you're going to be all in on Mike, if you're going to say, no, we believe Mike can fix it, give him the money to fix it.
Yeah.
Give him the money. Now, again, you know, I once heard this saying that it ain't my money, so do with it as you want.
Right.
Because the money I've been given to the program, it's on hold because we're trying to figure out what's happening here. Right. And so whatever you're going to do, Florida State, if you're going to be all in on Mike Norvell, be all in. It's going to take a lot of money to fix yeah. what this problem is. And when I say money, I mean money in hiring, firing assistant coaches, and going out and getting better players from right. the transfer portal.
Yep.
So you're going to have to be able to do that. And if you do that, great. The fans will be behind you as long as you believe it and we can see wins. If you go the other way, be all in. And don't yeah. settle for a terrible coach. Go right. get somebody who has proven they don't have to necessarily have won a national title, but they know how to build a program. They know how to win. I mean, dadgummit, I am over the moon about this Indiana coach.
I knew that's what you were gonna say.
I was gonna say it. Yeah. That boy said, "Google me, I win." Like yeah. he ain't lying. Look at his
I want
resume.
All of that. Yeah,
he won everywhere he goes, yeah. and so go get him.
Yeah.
Imagine him recruiting with Florida State resources, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, be all in Florida State with whatever you're going to do. Yes. This decision, you're absolutely right, Jesse. This is a crossroads for the program. More than it was with Jimbo and Willie, more than it was with Willie and Mike Norvell. This is huge because yeah. we've literally now seen a sustained amount of losing over the course since 2017. Like, and yeah, we had the blip with 2023 and 2022, but we're right back where we were.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to become the Nebraskas of college football.
Right.
Because look what happened to them.
Right. And I will say this. I think like the one drawback here is like now you have to hire assistants coming off the season. Now you have to hire assistants when you know Mike Norvell's seat is warm.
Right.
And so I do think whether it's, you know, maybe kind of blowing smoke or not, I think Alfred needs to come out. If you're going to keep Mark Norvell and be like, look, he is our coach. We are going to give him the resources to do this. He's going to fix
right.
this.
Absolutely
and so you need
agree.
To give him that vote of confidence. I think the one thing, Michael, that really worries me the most when you bring up a program like Nebraska, you know, as I think of Florida, I think of Miami, I think it's very dangerous to get into this cycle of hiring and firing coaches every 2 to 3 years.
I agree.
Hoping that somebody works out. because that can be very dangerous. I mean, you see how many times Miami fired a coach.
Yep.
And it didn't work out. And the next guy you brought in that was the answer wasn't the answer. And so
right.
I think that's a good point to transition to the on the field stuff, because, you know, you look at, like, I think the problem is right now we don't know what is Mike Norvell, right? You look back to his time at Memphis. He was very respected among the coaching circles. He's got a pretty daggone decent coaching tree. I mean, you look at what Dillingham's doing at Arizona yeah. State. You look at what Dan Lanning's doing at right. Oregon. You look at what Ryan Silverfield's doing at Memphis. So, like, all those teams are better than you. Maybe we can get one of his proteges. Love Dan Lanning. But you look at his coaching tree has been successful. He had good seasons at Memphis. Now, he took over a better program at Memphis than he That's did right. at Florida State. But he still, in his final year, led them to the Cotton Bowl, a 12-win That's team. Right. And I think the thing that's important to remember is, like, while we're trying to define what is Mike Norvell, we didn't think 1-11, 2-10 was in there.
Correct.
There are a lot of what we would say are pretty good coaches that yeah. never reached 12-2, that never, like he did at Memphis, that never reached 13-1, 13-0, or win the ACC, their conference. There are a lot of coaches that have never done that. And so I think, like, the fact that when you look at Mike Norvell, and again, we have been on record 1,000 times talking about the early part of his tenure where we know what he took over.
Yep.
He gets a little bit of a pass yes. for that. I don't think you get a pass for this.
Nope.
But the thing is, for me, is like he took over, he turned around this program one time before. And so that makes me feel like, okay, well, he can probably turn this around again. The yep. difference, the thing that concerns me the most about this was not his mess. That's he right. can come in and go, look, I took over a disaster. You can be the answer to the questions. These are his coaches, his players, his processes that got us here. Now, that's also the same ones that got us to 23-4, 19 straight wins. But it's a lot. That message hits different when
that's right.
you created the problem. And I know there's not a whole lot of examples of people turning around the program when they created the mess.
Correct.
But, of course, then you look back to Jim Harbaugh yep. Did it. Brian Kelly did it.
Yep.
But the difference with them was, and we don't know this yet. This is still to be determined for Florida State. That was a one-year blip. They fired a bunch of their staff. They reinvented themselves, and they came back out. If you could guarantee me this was a one-year blip, I'm all in on Mike Norvell. But if this is something that you can't flip around immediately, then, man, this could turn into like a cancer that you just can't get rid of.
Yeah.
But the last thing I do want to say before I throw it back to you is, like, we didn't know the floor was here. This is a floor that Florida State should never have under any coach. But the ceiling, too, is something I think that has to be considered. Because when you look at Mike Norvell, he took over a program that hadn't won the ACC in 5 years at the time when he took over. They were 18-20 in the 3 years before he got here. And despite a terrible start, he won the ACC within 4 years of being here. And so I was looking up some things here, Michael, and here's some things for you. So be careful what you wish for when you start moving on the coaches here. A guy who took over a dumpster fire and won the ACC. Now, you could argue it was a down year for the ACC, but nonetheless, he won the conference, went on the road, beat Clemson, beat LSU, did all those things, beat the rivals. Clemson went 20 years without winning an ACC title from 91 to 2011.
Yep.
NC State hasn't won one in 46 years, Duke in 36, UNC in 45, Virginia Tech in 14, Georgia Tech in 17, UVA has been a co-champion 30 years ago, Wake hasn't won one in 19 years, Pitt in 3 years, Louisville has been in the ACC for 11 years, never won one, Miami, this is their 21st year, never won one, BCQs, never won one, so the fact that he won an ACC championship within 4 years let you know that, like, man, that's harder to do than people think. And I know that at the same time, like, why you could say, okay, well, I know most fans are probably thinking right now, well, that how much of that was him and how much of that was Jordan Travis and that NFL roster and, you know, all the talent they had there. And I get that argument, but the same could be said for what is Jimbo without Jameis? What yeah. is Mario Cristobal without Cam Ward? What is Ed Orgeron without Joe Burrow? Like, oh, all these gosh. Coaches who have had that insane success was a direct result of that. And you know, since that 0-4 start in 2021, Norvell did go on a 28-7 run. And I saw David Hale put this out. In that time frame, in those 35 games, only Kirby Smart, Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, and Nick Saban had a better record over that same span.
That's correct.
He still went out and got those players. They still right. put those players in a position to succeed. And he still went 13-1 and won an ACC championship with that. We just didn't know this was going to be that low. And you may see ups and downs in the portal NIL era because it is harder to hold on to depth. But this team should not be this bad. Point blank, period. Whatever they're doing, something's broken, something's not working. It shouldn't be this bad. You may see the swings, but, I mean, Florida State's lost 10-plus draft picks before. The difference was recruiting, and we know the one knock on the staff is they haven't recruited well enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely agree. You didn't think this was possible. You thought Mike Norvell was going to be able to fix the program. I mean, we said it here on this show.
Yeah.
We don't ever see again us having seasons like what we endured at the end of Willie, well, most of Willie, all of Willie, and at the beginning of Mike Norvell. We don't see that again. We literally said that. So for us to be here talking to you saying, what in the world? We're just as shocked and devastated as you are, as FSU fans.
Right.
We didn't think it was possible. Now, I was one of the ones early on saying, okay, you know what? He can fix this because go look at Jim Harbaugh. Go look at Brian Kelly, who had a bad season. They cleaned house, and they brought it back. But, you know, I was maybe a little bit naive in that sense too as well, because if you go back and look at them, you know, Jim Harbaugh took over Michigan, and they were good immediately. Then they had the one season. And then they were back to good, and then they ended up winning a national title. Brian Kelly took over Notre Dame. They were pretty good very quickly. Then he had the one bad, the 4-8 season, fired a lot of people. Then they were good again before he left to LSU. Mike Norvell took over a terrible, really broken FSU and was able to get us back, get FSU back to elite, went 23-3, 19-0, right? ACC championship. And then the wheels fell off the wagon again. And it's kind of like taking like a thin layer of, I don't know, plastic and putting it over a food bowl, that heavy food, right? And you throw it over, you turn it over, and it breaks through. Well, of course, as long as you don't put pressure on the system, on the thin layer of plastic, it's not going to break. It's secure and feel. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with Florida State. I think Mike Norvell was able to go out and, again, take advantage of the transfer portal when the rest of the country and those coaches were like, yeah, we're not sure about this, so we're going to be very careful. And Mike and that staff went all in. They were able to identify the elite talents in the portal, grab them, and get enough of them to make up for the talent deficit while also trying to high school recruit. I think the problem became, man, they were, like we talked about, they were hitting on so many of those transfer portal. They got lazy in their evaluation. They just figured they could take whoever they wanted to. They could also, you know, be lazy in their high school recruiting. And then after last season, when the mantra of do what you are responsible of doing and success will come got blown up by the college football committee and those players left, well, guess what happened to that thin layer? We put pressure on the system. And it broke through. And this is what we're experiencing. And so I hope Mike Norvell is the one who can then go back and get a stronger layer of plastic to put over that thing to say, this will never happen under my watch again. And if he's not the person, then we got to go find that person. We got to go find, honestly, Florida State, you got to go find, I know it's hard to figure it out, but you have to go find the next Nick Saban. You got to go find the next Ryan Day, because Ryan Day took over Ohio State after Urban Meyer. Yes, Urban Meyer built that thing, but he was able to maintain it.
Right.
You know, you got to go find the next Dan Lanning. You got to go find that coach that can take Florida State and make sure Florida State reclaims the state of Florida first and then reclaims the nation and win.
Right. No, I agree. And I think the thing that's concerning for most fans right now is thinking like, okay, well, we've seen Mike Norvell coach good seasons. We've seen him do it at Memphis. We've seen him do it here, more than one program. That's kind of proof in the pudding that it can happen.
Right.
But how do you fix this when it was, like I said earlier, when
it was
your mess? And so I do want to say that I know this time is different than last time because he made the mess and he's not cleaning up the mess. But Florida State is still a destination. They still are competitive in NIL. And I do want to remind fans that, like, look, he got guys like Keir Thomas, Jermaine Johnson, Jamie Robinson, Dylan Gibbons. They all said yes to an absolute dumpster fire coming off a 3-6 season.
That's right.
That was not before any success happened. Then, even coming off a 5-7 season where they had just lost to Jacksonville State, you got Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, Jared Verse, Tatum Bethune. All these guys said yes to you.
Right.
So I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about this. Is like, you can go out and this is the difference between now and in the past, is as quickly as things can fall, things can also flip around. I mean, look what TCU did.
That's right.
Know, and UCF, didn't they go from like 0-12 to 12-0 at one point or something? Yep. Like in the portal era, you can flip a program really fast. Now, the difference is you're not selling a vision. You're probably going to have to pay a lot of money to get these guys in here. But I think that if you can be, you have to be literally razor thin on your margin of error on evaluations.
Absolutely.
This
absolutely.
You have got to hit on everybody that you get, and you're going to have to pay for the ones you get. And that might be productive G5 players. That might be, you know, getting in a bidding war for somebody from another Power Five school or something like that. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to bring in some coaches that can recruit high school.
That's right.
And guys and ones that guys want to play for, so you can get these guys out of the portal. Because, you know, you talked about it before where they went heavy early in the portal and it really helped. You know, we've said this 100 times. You can supplement your roster from the portal. You cannot build the foundation from it.
No.
Because you can't guarantee what's going to be there every year. And now that the portal has become more prevalent across college football, you're seeing the big fish jumping in the water with you.
Gotcha.
You are no longer the Alabama of the portal.
Absolutely.
Now you have Louisville's in there, who does great things. You have Lane Kiffin's in there. You have George's in there. You have all these guys that are taking these transfers that now you have to compete with, and you're the worst one of them. So you're going to have to compete against them. So I do think from an on-the-field perspective, like I said, man, I think when you look at Mike Norvell, I still think he's a good coach. I don't think he's forgotten how to coach. I just think something is fundamentally wrong. I think he's mad. I think he knows that some people aren't pulling their weight on the staff. You can
you can tell. Man,
he is the coach speaking as coach I've ever heard, but I think it's basically him trying not to just be like, these dudes suck, and I can't wait to kick their ass out of this program. and I think that goes for some players, and I think that goes for some coaches too. And I think really it's a learning experience for Mike Norvell. Like, I really do think if they keep him, I hope what this tells him is that you can't get complacent.
Yeah.
Right. You can't just take players because of the name that of the school they came from. You can't let coaches hang out because you did good the year before. If it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And like you say all the time, man, if you're not coaching it, you're allowing it. Mm. If you're not recruiting well enough, you're allowing recruiting to be subpar. That's how you get here. But the development has to be better because this still is the 13th most talented on paper, 13th most talented roster in the country. This is still one of the only rosters that has a blue chip ratio above 50%.
That's right.
There's no reason for it to be this bad. You're squandering the talent that you have. So they got to find out ways to get more out of this roster. But I will say the one thing I'll throw it back to you is like, you have to revisit not only your coaching staff, not only your roster, but how you go about everything if they decide to keep Mike Norvell. And I do think they will. But yeah, I do think that, and I me personally, I can see where you would rip the Band-Aid off and just fire him because something feels fundamentally broken. And I worry with every growing week with how bad this is getting, you know, Lord forbid you lose to Charleston Southern. I don't know that this hole is too deep to dig out of. That is what worries me. But I do think Mike Norvell is still a good coach. And I think if, you know, you kind of give him that wake up call and that opportunity, I don't think this is going to happen again, but I didn't think this was here either.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I still think that Jimbo Fisher is one of the most brilliant offensive minds in the country. He had an archaic offense, but the boy knew how to coach. But something was fundamentally broken when he left here with his Christmas tree on the sidewalk when he got to Texas A&M. And I agree. I don't know what it is. I mean, with Jimbo, we know what it was. We have all the evidence. We've talked about it before. I don't know what it is with Mike Norvell. And that's the thing.
No, that's a scary thing.
Keep him. That's a scary thing. But if you keep him, Jesse, you stole some of my points. But if you keep him, he has to fundamentally rip apart his whole philosophy of building a program and start from bare bones again. I mean, you can't be talking about climb anymore, bro. You can't be talking about response because it ain't working. No one's listening anymore. And then again, I don't know how sternly or matter of fact to say this, but to say you cannot miss in the portal this year. You can't miss. There can't be one bus because we have seen already just one bus when you don't have the team fully capable is detrimental to your team. And I know we're going to give verdicts and all like that, but I'm just saying, like, you talk about, should they just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid? There's one game left on this schedule that if you lose, you have to rip the Band-Aid. I don't see how you come back from it. If you lose the one game, that'll be in my verdict. You have to rip the Band-Aid.
That's a can't lose game.
That's a cannot lose game. Can Mike Norvell coach? Absolutely. Is he a brilliant offensive mind? Absolutely. Is he a really likable dude? Absolutely. But something is fundamentally wrong. And we're at the point now as a program that we don't want to be left behind. This is Florida dadgum state.
No, I mean, you said it perfectly, man. And really, I think there are some other little things in there. Like you said, he's a great guy. Now, we're not paying him to be a great guy.
Correct.
But you don't have a lot of off-the-field trouble. I think that's great. Although, you know, if you look at Georgia right now, hey, I'd take a couple misdemeanors for a couple championships. It is what it is. I would take that. But I'm not the guidance counselor. I'm just a podcaster. But I do think, man, when you talk about this offseason, as we kind of get into wrapping this up with our final verdicts and things like that, I think one – it's going to be an expensive and crucial offseason no matter what they decide to do. I think, like we said, you're going to have to spend some money. You're going to have to find some really good coaches. You're going to have to pay them what they want to get in here because you're going to need good coaches. You can't miss again because now he's coaching for his job. There is no second chance. This is it.
This is it.
You either fix it now or you're done. And I think you really have to focus on, if they keep Mike Norvell, you have to focus on talent, keeping the talent in the boat, the young guys. And so the things I do like on the side of keeping Mike Norvell is you are getting these young guys experience. So you're not walking in completely blind next year where you've just lost a bunch of people. You actually have guys that have experience. They're young guys, but you got to keep them here. Now, the one thing I will say, a lot of these guys could leave. I expect some to leave. There will be some names that'll break our hearts at the end of the year that's going to leave because we wanted to keep them around. But you haven't seen anybody opt out yet, which you've pretty much seen on a lot of other teams across the country. You haven't seen anybody really folded in yet to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna redshirt to basically enter the portal. So hopefully you can hang on to some of these guys. Things are gonna change obviously when you change coaching staff as well, and that may influence some guys one way or the other. Maybe the new coaches can bring some guys in that they've recruited. You're gonna have to recruit better, but there's so many things that are going to go into this offseason. You have to hit on the transfers, like we mentioned. You have to hit on these hires. You have to convince guys to stay. You got to go out and get guys, because with that being said, I think what I want to get into now is kind of like, where does this need to be?
Yeah.
Because I don't think Mike Norvell has to go from 2-10 to 10-2 next year. But I do agree that if that Charleston Southern game is a can't lose game, because if you lose that game, I think you just need to get rid of everybody, because there is a massive stink on this program that you have to get off. But I think that next year, if you can be in the 7-8 win range, and it's not outside of Alabama, Miami, it's not a murderer's row schedule. So you can certainly win 8 games. You need to be a bowl eligible team. And then after that, once you have those new coaches, in year two, you need to be back competing for the conference championship.
Correct.
Because this is Florida State. And I also think you need to see the recruiting starting to tick up. You need to be on the verge of top 10 classes, competing for top 10 classes after at least 2 years. And so when I look at my final verdict here, I think I personally, 1,000,000%, hear me when I say this, I understand ripping the Band-Aid off right now and getting rid of everybody, including Mike Norvell. Because, like you said, man, something is broken, and I don't know what it is. We can say it's the snub. We can say it's this. We can say it's that. We don't know, but something is severely wrong. Yeah. Mike Norvell has never had an offense this bad. He's never coached a season this bad. The talent is not bad enough to have what's going on right now. Something is wrong with this program. But I also caution people, like I said, I don't want to get in the cycle of hiring and firing coaches every 2 to 3 years. There's no guarantee that somebody's going to be a hit. I mean, I'm sure people are probably questioning Kalen DeBoer being hired at Alabama right now. They lost to freaking Vanderbilt. There's a lot that goes with that. And so I do think you have to be careful with making changes too fast.
That's right.
And because there's no guarantee what the next coach is going to come in and do. What happens if you take a $40 million coaching switch and the guy comes in and goes 4-8? Well, now you're going to feel like a dummy. And so I do think there is that part to it, but so I understand ripping it off. And plus, who are you going to get, man? Right now, you're stuck in the ACC. You got all this money that you're paying out. Your stadium's half built. You don't have a football-only facility. Like, you're not going to go steal Dan Lanning from Oregon. You might get the Cignetti guy from Indiana, but they're in the Big Ten. They make a lot more money than you. They're going to come back and say, well, what do you want? With $10 million, all right, you got it. So that is things I do caution of. Who can you get? That's something to consider, too. So to me, I understand the argument of getting rid of him altogether. But what I would personally do, my final verdict is I would keep Mike Norvell. And, you know, if you were a fan growing up of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, the meme where they move out of the house and it's like just Will's just in the living room looking around. That's what it needs to be. Everybody needs to go. I think your off the field staff needs to go. I think your on the field staff needs to go. I think you need to change the way you go about things. You need to put an emphasis on high school recruiting. Of course, this year you're going to have to go heavy in the portal because you're probably only going to bring in 10 to 12 guys, period. That's right. I think you give Mike Norvell 2 years. Asterisk. I think you give him 2 years with a completely new staff because it's going to be hard to, depending on what you lose and what you gain. That's the hard part about the portal era is you never know what you're going to hang on to and what you're going to lose and what you're going to get in the offseason. We could be talking like if Brock, Luke, and Trevor transferred, we could be talking about a whole different story here. Yeah. And it's certainly possible, but I don't think it's going to happen, but you get what I'm saying. You don't know what your roster is going to look like next year. But I think if you bring in the new coaches, you need to give them at least 2 years, right? I think you need to see that progression. I think you need to be 7 to 8 wins next year, 10 to 11 wins the year after that, competing for the conference championship, competing for the playoffs, and seeing the recruiting get better. So I think you give him about 2 more years. That takes, what, $18 to $20 million off the buyout. That lets you finish your stadium. The renovations are done. The football-only facility is done. You're still paying for it, but it's done. So you're a more attractive program to the next guy coming in. Hopefully, Mike Norvell has at least gotten this team off the mat. So even if you're like, you know, 7-6, 2 years in a row, and you're like, it's just not good enough. I think we're going to go ahead and make this move. You're coming from a better place than 2-10, 1-11. But I do put the asterisk on there because if it looks like this next year, I know it's a gamble and it's a risk you're going to have to take. Like we talked about with, it's going to cost you an additional probably $20 to $40 million or $20 million if you're looking at having to fire a new assistant staff and then bring in another one for a third time in 3 years. Man, if it looks like this next year, you got to wipe the slate clean. So I wholeheartedly agree with you coming back to this as I throw it back to you. Whatever they do, they need to go all in on. I think you either need to just wipe the slate completely clean, eat the cost, and go out and do the daggone best you can. Because remember, Michael Alford he did not hire Mike Norvell.
He did not.
And when you look at an athletic department, their success as an AD is based on who you hire and how successful that department is. Now, he did great with the soccer. He did great keeping Lonnie Almeida. Baseball looks like it's on the right track. But your two main sports, basketball, they're terrible. And they're 1-0, so let me give them some credit there. But they've been terrible, and your football program is now terrible. So Michael Alford has not put his stamp on this football program yet or the basketball program So I think that's going to be a big thing going forward. But, yeah, man, I think you either need to wipe the slate and then go make a home run hire, which he did with baseball, or you need to keep Mike Norvell, put your faith in him, and then give him the resources necessary. NIL, you know, Mike Norvell, you should donate. I don't know if this is legal, so don't do it if it's not. Give someone else $2 million to $5 million to give to the Battle's End. If you can't donate directly, well, give it to me. I'll keep 20% handling.
That's what I was going
to
say.
And I'll give it back to the Battle's End. But I think that's what it has to be, man. You have to go all in one way or the other with Mike Norvell or without. But you have to give him what he needs to do it, or you have to get rid of him and find somebody who can.
Absolutely. Listen, Mike Norvell was hired in 2020, went 3-6. He was hired into a dumpster fire. There was some hard stuff he had to deal with, the pandemic, everything that was going on that year. He comes back the next year. He has an incredible game that they lose by a field goal to Notre Dame. Then they lose the game that, Jesse, you don't like me bringing up. Then they end up going 5-3 to end that season of 2021. They go 10-3, an incredible run. You know, they lose 3 games in the middle of the season, back that up, win 6 straight games, beat Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl. Then they come out and go 13-0. They whoop LSU again. I mean, it's incredible. Then the playoff snub, everything. There's a lot there for sure. So I'm going to do what they call in the judicial system a summary conditional judgment. Here's my summary conditional judgment. You bring Mike Norvell back for 2025, asterisk. If he loses to Charleston Southern, fire everybody, including Mike Norvell. I'm sorry. You cannot lose that game. Agreed. You cannot. I'm sorry. I don't care how bad you are.
I do not object to that motion.
Thank you. You cannot lose to that game. Thank you, Judge. All right. Rest of the summary judgment. Bring him back in 2025. Clean house. I'm with you in that. You get rid of every coach maybe except for Patrick Surtain. But you got to get rid of the off-the-field staff because they missed on those evaluations of the portal players. You got to get rid of that. You need to get a new mentality of recruiting high school. You're going to have to hit the portal hard, so you're going to need to have some ace evaluators, some ace recruiters on that coaching staff. Listen, yes, you want to have great coaches that can put them in great schemes, but if they can't recruit great talent, it doesn't necessarily matter how great the scheme is, okay? So you got to go get some high school rock star recruiters who can coach, but they got to be better recruiters than that. I think you've been saying 7-8. I'm sorry. Minimum 8-game win. You got to win 8 games next year. I'm not having it. You got to win 8 games. This is Florida State, okay? Then if you win 8 games next year and we're seeing an uptick in recruiting, then I think you come back for 2026. If you don't lose at Charleston Southern, but you come back and you have less than 8 games in 2025, I don't think it's fixable. I think you got to move on. Because here's why. I know you say that we don't want to be in the process of changing coaches every 2 to 3 years. You're absolutely right. You're darn right. We don't want to do that. This is going to be Mike Norvell's 6th year. He's beyond that. We're beyond the 2 to 3 years with him. He's had 6 years, and he's had 2 good seasons, and everything else has been absolutely dog water.
Yep.
That's my judgment.
No, I agree, man. And it's really hard to defend him when you look at you lost your first game to an FCS in program history. You've screwed the streak to Duke, Mack Brown. I mean, this is an absolute embarrassment. This is the worst season in 50 years. And so, I just think he has to really clean house. I mean, you can't have stuff like, obviously, you got Keon Coleman telling guys not to come to Florida State
because Ron
Dugans isn't good. And Ron Dugans wasn't really good at Miami either.
Nope.
And so I think you can't have stuff like that in your program, not in year 6. And I know we give him a little bit of a pass for the first year, but you just can't have that. So, man, correct. I understand the argument for getting rid of him right now. I think I would not oppose one bit. And the first 3 or 4 games, we were like, I don't think you want to get rid of Mike Norvell. I think you want to fire everybody else. At this point, because it's been so bad, I'm okay with firing him. I am. I just think, me personally, if I was Michael Alford for a day, I would give Mike Norvell 2 years with the asterisk, right? You lose to Charleston Southern, you're all gone. If it looks like this in 2025, you're still all gone.
Yep.
But as long as you can get back to respectability and back to competing for conference championships within 2 years with a new staff that's competent.
Yeah.
And then I just think the big thing is you have to consider the whole picture too. Like,
yes,
you get a chance to finish the stadium, finish the football only facility, get out from under some of these financial commitments that you have. Like, your assistant coaches would probably be paid off by then.
Yep.
So you get out from under that. The buyout comes down. Then you make the move. And I still think Mike Norvell, the 23-4 and the 19-0, did earn him the opportunity to try and fix it. But like you said, man, the frank truth of it for Mike Norvell, as good as we might think he is or not, it's been more bad than good.
Correct. And here's what I'll say. The last thing I'll say to this is what has been proof positive in this new era of college football with the NIL and giving to it and all like that stuff. And whenever the court case comes down and the schools have to pay, the one thing has been proof positive is if you go and you look at all these schools who changed coaches and brought in new coaches, whether basketball or football programs, the one thing you did notice is that when they brought in a new coach, the giving to the NIL skyrocketed. Yep. And we know, you and I, Jesse, we talk about this on off air. We know that the giving to NIL this year is going to be low, right? Because of the product on the field. So that's the other reason. If you're going to pull the trigger on Mike Norvell and fire him now, that's the other reason to do it, is because new blood brings in new money and a lot of money.
You talk Nick Saban out of retirement, you'll have a $100 million roster next year. But probably not going to happen. But no, man, I agree with everything you said. And that's really where we're just at with Mike Norvell. Like, I understand, we both understand both sides of the argument. You just got to do whatever it takes to make this program not do this again. Because, like we said, you're at a crossroads, man. And this could be a really, really bad time for this program if you screw it up. But the good thing is, in this modern era, like we said, man, one good offseason. If you nail this offseason, you go get a great coordinator. Look at what LSU did.
Right.
You know, with what they did, man, when they went on that championship run, you go get a Joe Brady type of coordinator or something like that. You go get some guys in the portal, and it can happen. You're going to spend for it. You can flip this thing in 1 year. It can happen. If it can go from 13-1, it can go from 1 to 7 or 8. And so we're hoping that's what's going to happen. So that's going to be it for the verdict, guys. Let us know your verdict down in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Michael, give me 1 minute for Notre Dame here. Notre Dame, 26.5 point favorite. This Saturday, your predicted model scores here are going to be around 34, 35, 7. That's probably being pretty kind there. 96.5% leaning towards Notre Dame. Florida State has not won in South Bend since 2003. They did beat Texas A&M to open the season. They lost to Northern Illinois. We know that was an embarrassing loss. We were thinking on the show, hey, we might be Notre Dame. Well, in six games since that, they've scored 43 points a game, no games under 28 points. Only one team has scored more than 14 points. That was Louisville, who has a really good offense. They beat two ranked teams, number 15 Louisville, who just beat Clemson in Death Valley, and they just beat number 24 Navy, who, by the way, put up 56 points on Memphis that you scored 12 points on. Their win margins have been, since that loss to Northern Illinois, 59, 25, 7, 42, 18, and 37. They're top 20 in scoring offense, top 5 in scoring defense, top 10 in turnover margin. So my keys to the Notre Dame game is don't die. Don't die. So, yeah, man, that's pretty much going to be it for me for the Notre Dame thoughts. It's just there's not a whole lot to say about that game. It's going to be an embarrassment. You just better go into that bye week, get your crap together to beat Charleston Southern. Absolutely. Because, again, like we said, man, that's a Band-Aid ripper right there.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't know if you have any final thoughts before we get out of here, man, but I just want this to end. I just want this to end.
Yeah. No, I agree. This has been an absolutely atrocious college football season for us Florida State fans. And it's just so, I want to say unfair, but I can't really, you know, we're fans. This is just what we sign up for, but it's just been terrible. It's not been fun. I can't even enjoy the college football season because your team is so bad. Right. And so we just want to get out of this. That's all we're asking for. We just want to get out of it. We'll figure whatever we got to do to help. We'll do it. Just tell us, just give us some hope. And don't get absolutely, you know, obliterated against Notre Dame. Show some fight, guys. You know, we're not expecting you to win. We're not expecting you to cover the spread. Like, just show some fight. Show us that there's still the unconquered spirit in you. And give us a little bit of hope. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, as painful as it is to watch, it's 10 times as painful to cover. It's funny because we always joked. I was like, man, I started this like late 2021. I was like, golly, thank goodness we didn't start this in 20, you know, the Willie era in 2020. Oh, well, here it comes.
Here it comes.
Sometimes life comes back around, smacks you in the face. So here we are. So it's not the season we wanted. It's not the season we asked for, but we're still going through it with you guys. Again, FSU fan therapy sessions here that we're having. But we appreciate you guys sticking with us throughout this terrible season, and only 3 games left. And then Florida State can get an early jump on that offseason. That's the good thing. The moment the clock strikes zero for Florida, get on it, Mike Norvell. But if you guys enjoyed this episode, drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. Rate and review on the podcast. Tell a friend. They probably don't want to hear about Florida State right now, but just tell them, you know, hey, these guys are suffering through the season with us. So we appreciate you guys hanging out with us for this. Again, let us know what you think in the comments on whether they should keep Mike Norvell or not if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall today. Sponsor, save 10% with Coach Spear. We will catch you guys on the next one. Find something else to do on Saturday because it's going to be pretty brutal. So love y'all. Mean it. Catch you on the next one. Go Noles.
Go Noles.